Today on Real Radio.
Jesus left us some wonderfully encouraging and comforting yet challenging words in John 14 verse 12. Jesus says, most assuredly, or truly, truly. He said that for us, truly, truly. Absolutely, absolutely. I say to you, he who believes in me and the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do. But excuse me, how in the world can we do greater works than Jesus? And I believe strongly that he was speaking about evangelism, that we would be taking the gospel around the world.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're exploring chapter 4, where Paul, the letter's author, emphasizes unity among believers and spiritual gifts. This series is taken from Ephesians 4 and verses 7 through 16. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in his series called United in the Gifts.
The gifts of the Holy Spirit are absolutely essential if a church is going to grow and be strong in what it stands for. And the Bible tells us, the Bible teaches us, that at least every believer, every born-again Christian in the body of Christ has at least one gift that they are to operate to the strengthening, to the unifying, to the edification of the Church of Jesus, the body. And that is this body, by the way, here locally. The Lord has poured out His Spirit to all believers globally. And that is true. But we are all members of a local body. And we are to be exercising the gift that God has given us. Now listen, what is your gift? Don't shout it out. But what is your gift? Are you a Christian? Well, my goodness, maybe everybody in this room, maybe out of peer pressure or out of true conviction that you are, would raise their hand and say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, that's great. Well, then what gift do you have? And for some of you, you have already spoken to me and you've said, I don't know what gift I have. Well, that's okay. You will find out in this series, we hope, we trust, what gift it is you do have. But it comes upon you and it comes to you much more simply than you think. God will be and is even now beginning to stir up the juices in your heart and in your mind to be thinking, gee, what is my contribution to the body? And connected to that will be an observation that you will make. Maybe you're already making it. Maybe you've come to this church and you're saying, well, this church really needs a whatever. It may very well be that God is taking you in this church, showing you a need, and you will be gifted to meet that need. That's how God works in this body. Somebody at one point in time said, you know what? We ought to have more comfortable chairs, and wrote a check for the chairs. Actually, somebody did that, you know. We had the building all done, and we needed 560-something chairs, and we had paid for everything, but we didn't have money for the chairs. It didn't dawn on us. I think we need chairs. And nobody knew about it. And my wife, myself, and Mike Kopchinski were standing around, and we said, we don't have chairs. And Mike says, well, while I'm driving through the canyon, I'll keep my eye open for a brown bag laying alongside the road. And I said, well, amen. It's going to take a miracle, you know. And two days later, the Lutheran, I think it was the Lutheran Credit Union in Anaheim, sent us a check for the amount to cover the chairs. Actually, that's not true. We had $13 extra. We could have bought, if we had one more dollar, we could have bought another chair. Yet nobody knew. And that would have been obviously the gift of giving. And we'll talk about that later on, way later on. But God's body works and has been gifted by the Holy Spirit to meet the need and to minister to the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus left us some wonderfully encouraging and comforting yet challenging words in John 14, verse 12. Jesus says, most assuredly, or truly, truly. He said that for us, truly, truly. Absolutely, absolutely. I say to you, he who believes in me and the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do. But excuse me, how in the world can we do greater works than Jesus? And I believe strongly that he was speaking about evangelism, that we would be taking the gospel around the world. In fact, Jesus said again in Matthew 28, 19, go therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples of all men, all mankind, and baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he went on to say in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's the words of Jesus. And he empowered us to do that. That's the secret to our success, by the way, as Christians, as Jesus said, I'm with you always. And he does that by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to perk up and listen as we go through this tonight and ask yourself this question, are you really ministering to the body of Jesus Christ? And are we glorifying God in what we do with our bodies, with our mouths, with our feet? Or are we living for our own passions, which is an easy thing to do? But if ministry is to be done right here, or whatever church you're from, or whatever ministry you'll be involved in, if it's ever going to be done right, it will be done this way. People will be growing, they'll be stretched, that is, they'll constantly be aware that God is bigger than themselves and that they need to grow on in the Lord, and God challenges them. They'll be enlarging their experience with God because they'll be pursuing Him and chasing Him. I've been a Christian this year. This summer will make 20 years that I've been a Christian. I accepted the Lord when I was 2. And 20 years as a Christian this summer, June 22nd. Make 20 years. And as I put this together, I began to think for a moment, do I have 20 years experience as a Christian, or have I been a Christian for 20 years, but I have about 3 years experience? I just kind of keep going back and reliving my old life all over again. Is that how it is in my life? Well, I praise the Lord that with me personally, I can't stand still for a moment. And the Lord, pretty much, as I look back over my life, I've got about 20 years of experience as being a Christian. I don't want to go back to where I was last month. I don't want to do that. I want to grow on. And the way that's going to happen in my life is if you understand what gift you have and you practice that gift, and the same with me toward you, and that we come to the unity that the Lord has called us to as Christians. What is it that you are doing in the body? Now, you may be saying, gosh, I don't like the tone of your voice. I want to hear what Jesus has done for me. Well, if you come here more often, you'd hear what Jesus does for you all the time. Now it's our turn as Christians to respond to one another. Oh, I love God. That's great. Mow your neighbor's lawn. I just praise the Lord. That's neat. Let's go feed that shut-in person, that lady. You see? If you love the Lord, and you do, the way that's lived out in our lives is ministering to the needs of one another. In John 14, verse 18, Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And he was speaking about the person of the Holy Spirit. So in our study tonight, we come to really the second thing. We saw last week the origin of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Where do they come from? Tonight, we'll see the purpose of the gifts. And why are they important to us today? And specifically, we're going to cover just 4 particular gifts at this point in time. But before we get into those, look at verse 7 to 10. And we're going to see right here the first point, and that is God has graced us, that is us within the church, with men, and it is men, the gena, sex, male, men. Men, we're talking about male men. Mailmen, postal workers. in this particular section. Now, if you're a woman in here and you get all upset about this, I didn't write the book. Okay, this is just what it says. But hang on to your shorts, if you're a man, and shorties, I guess, if you're a lady. It'll make sense here in a moment. Verse 7, Ephesians 4. But to each one of us, grace was given, or we were graced, according to the measure of Christ's gift. Jesus has given this gift, whatever that is. Can't argue with it, can't argue about it. It's what he's decided to give. Verse 8, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. We'll touch on this for a moment, and then we'll keep going on into the other part of the study about the purpose of the gifts. First of all, when it gets into this ascension, descension, lower parts of the earth, high above all the heavens stuff, what is he talking about? Well, I'm going to narrow it down to just the two most popular views. I'm going to give you the two most popular understandings of this really psalm that he's quoting, Psalm 68, verse 18. Jot that down in your footnotes if you don't already have it there. And the first view is this. What on earth is he talking about? When it says, verse 8, when he ascended on high, that is up into heaven, he led captivity captive. Okay, and what else? Well, he gave gifts to men. Well, what does that mean? Well, the first view is this. When Jesus ascended from the Mount of Olives there in Jerusalem, one of the views is this, that before he ascended upward, he did so after having captured, listen, this is the terminology, after having captured for us freedom, that he worked on the cross for us, he died on the cross, he died, went to the grave, rose again from the dead, that when he led captivity captive, some scholars believe that it means that he took all of the freedoms that Satan had stolen from us, wrapped us up and kept us bound in sin. Jesus set us free from that, wrapped us up, and took us up into heaven, so to speak, and gave gifts unto men is a reference to the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came. That's one view. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I will say that the second view I like better. And the second view is this, a very popular view. When Jesus ascended from the Mount of Olives, he did so to perform his priestly duties in heaven. You know, you read the book of Hebrews, and Jesus, by the way, had to. For him to be our high priest, Jesus Christ had to enter into the true Holy of Holies, which was where? In heaven. The one down here on earth was only a model, the Bible says. That Jesus would have entered into the Holy of Holies in heaven and made an offering of his blood before the Lord. Interesting. Read it. Hebrews 9 and 10. He would have made an offering once and for all forever concerning our sin, and that from now on we are to pray and confess to him, Hebrews 9 and 10 tells us, not to a priest that can never take away our sin, but to the Lord himself. The Bible tells us there's one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus, one only, Jesus Christ. And we're to go to him. Why? The Bible says he was our high priest. And so the other view is about him ascending up on high, is that he would have done his priestly work, very important, but also where it says that he descended, what does all that mean? Well, scriptures tell us that Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth. That is true. Peter tells us, jot it down, this gets kind of technical, so listen up. 1 Peter 3:18 tells us that Jesus literally descended into what is called Hades. It's not hell like the hell that you may be thinking of, where there's flames and all that stuff, though that was part of it. Jesus would have descended down into the lower parts of the earth, the Bible says, we'll read it in a moment, where he spoke to people like The people who perished in the flood? The people who perished before that time, before the time of Christ? And those who died before Jesus came believing in him? Daniel, Abraham, Isaac, Rebecca, go on and on and on. Anyone believing in the Lord? Prior to that, 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison." We'll talk about this in a moment. "Who formerly were disobedient," that is, during their earthly life, "when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few," that is, 8 souls, Noah and his family, "were saved through water." And so the understanding is this. When it says here in the scripture that he ascended on high and he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men, verse 9 says, "Now this that he also ascended," what does it mean? "But he also first descended in the lower parts of the earth," could be a reference to what 1 Peter 3:18 is talking about. That when Jesus went down into this place, now listen to this, prior to Jesus taking captive, this is what I personally believe and what some scholars do, that Jesus took captive those who were waiting for him. In Luke chapter 16, there is a teaching that Jesus gives us, and he says, listen, there's a man who died. It's not a parable. It's an actual fact. Jesus says there's a man who died. He was a rich guy, and he died, and he didn't care about God or anybody. He died, and he went right into hell, and he was in torment. And then his servant, who loved the Lord, he died. And his servant died and went down to Hades there, Sheol, and he was comforted in the bosom of Abraham. Abraham was talking to him, and Daniel and all those guys walking around there, they would have been there. They couldn't have gone into heaven yet. They could not have done that. They're in this place called paradise. The Bible also makes reference to it. Or also known as Abraham's bosom. When my kids were growing up, they're still kind of growing up. They're just so big now. But there was for years and years, I would like lay down on the couch or lay down on the bed, and I'd say, "Hey, come in Abraham's bosom." I don't know why it sounds stupid to you, but it made a lot of sense in our home. "Hey," and I would just, you know, hit my chest and come to Abraham's bosom, and the kids would just run and just jump right on my chest, and they would cuddle up and hide in there, and it was a place of comfort, a place of paradise, a place of rest, and. In Luke 16, it talks about this place. And it says that the rich man looks across this gorge, and he looks and he sees his servant in the bosom of Abraham. And he says, "Father Abraham." That's interesting. He had an awareness of who Abraham was after death. "Father Abraham, send my servant over here. Let him touch his fingers in the cool water there and bring it over to my tongue, because I'm terribly tormented in these flames." And Abraham says, "I'm sorry. There is a gorge, a gulf, a break between you and ourselves that is so great no man can cross. We cannot go to you, nor can you come to us." And he says, "Father Abraham, if that's the case, then will someone go up to the earth and tell my brothers, my family, about this horrible place so that they don't have to come here?" And Abraham, you know what Abraham said? Basically, he said, "They have the prophets to read." In other words, he said, "They got their Bibles to read. Let them read their Bibles. They'll be held accountable for having their Bibles. They can read their Bible, get off their coffee table, dust it off, and read it." That was the answer. It wasn't a parable. It was an actual fact. This man was in torment. This man was in comfort. There was a gulf in between the two of them, and they were conscious one of another. And so I personally believe that when the Bible says that he led captivity captive, I believe that he went down there and, as it says, that he preached to those who were in prison. Isn't that interesting? What he would have said was something like this. "Hey, all you guys who didn't listen to Noah, you didn't listen to Elijah, you didn't listen to Daniel, you didn't listen to Isaiah or Malachi or Obadiah or any one of them. I'm the one that they were talking about. I'm he. I'm the one. You should have listened." And then he steps over into paradise and he wraps them up, because the word in Psalm 68 is that song and psalm of a captor taking what he has earned by what he has done. In that particular case in Psalm, it's being a great victor in a battle. Well, so is Jesus. The Bible says he's the captain of our souls. He would have taken Abraham, Isaac, and all of them and led captivity captive, because he took them to heaven. It says that he ascended with them. And by the way, on the day of Pentecost, he gave gifts unto men. So that tonight, by the way, tonight, if you read the book of Revelation, you'll know that tonight, if someone dies who's not a Christian, they go to this type of hell. It is not the hell. You know the big hell that everybody talks about? The big hell is still yet coming. Nobody's there yet. Read the book of Revelation. There is a time when Hades and everything that is evil gets thrown into the lake of fire, which is bad with a capital B and hot with a capital H. Bad. There's nobody there yet. He led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Interesting. Now, it says in verse 11 to 13, which is where we'll spend the most of our time. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastor teachers for the equipping of the saints, okay, and for the work of ministry, great, also for the edifying of the body of Christ, good. When it says in verse 8, and he gave gifts to men, you ought to circle the word gifts and draw a line down to verse 11, because here's the gifts that he's talking about. He gave a lot of gifts, but in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, he lists specific gifts. And we're going to get later on in our studies into all of the other fun gifts. I call them fun gifts because they're the ones that you're waiting to hear about.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation taken from Ephesians 4 in verses 7 through 16, where Paul expounds on gifts for believers and how they all contribute to the functioning of the church. United in the Gifts is the title of this mini-series, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more. Now, let's be honest for a minute. We all know someone who, in the past, was a professing believer and yet somehow drifted out of fellowship. Perhaps this individual is you. But our Lord is sometimes called the God of second chances, and this is why Pastor Jack has delivered a valuable four-part series called Christian Come Home. Christian Come Home is available on DVD. The title is quite self-explanatory and is an excellent treatment from the part of Luke's Gospel wherein we read of the prodigal son. Here's our offer. When you make a tax-deductible contribution of $20 or more to the work of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's series on DVD, Christian Come Home. Again, for your gift to the radio outreach of Real Radio of $20 or more, we'll send you Pastor Jack's DVD set, Christian Come Home. There's more than one way to do so. You can always visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. You can also call our telephone number, which is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send in your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.